This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, this past weekend's Super Bowl was a preview for a much larger contest. Liberals in corporate America versus the Trump administration. Larry Solov, co-founder of and CEO of Breitbart, is here with a play-by-play on the commentary of what's happening. That's coming up in just a moment. And seeing the handwriting on the wall, a few liberal states are moving to try and lock in, at the state level, the pro-abortion provisions of Obamacare, like the HHS mandate. FRC's Irina Grosu testified today against such a measure in Washington state. She'll join us a little bit later from the Evergreen State. And speaking of the states in abortion, one of Barack Obama's final gifts to Planned Parenthood was a last-minute executive order declaring that states could not defund the abortion giant that had been caught up in this trafficking in baby body parts that led to many states trying to defund them and send money to clinics that actually provide health care. Well, some in Congress are being proactive, and they are protecting the rights of states to say no to Planned Parenthood. Oklahoma Senator James Lankford is here to explain a little bit later. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. My thanks to Ronnie Floyd for filling in yesterday. As always, he does a great job. A little bit later, we're going to go to the phone lines, so stay tuned. That number, go ahead and jot it down if you don't know it by heart, 866-372-7234. All right. While millions of viewers watched the Super Bowl Sunday, even more Americans, I believe, are going to be watching the contest between some of America's largest corporations who have chosen to square off with Donald Trump and his administration. Not only did they send some not-so-subtle anti-Trump messages in Super Bowl ads, some are actually joining the legal fight against President Trump's pause on travel into the U.S. from certain countries that pose a threat. Well, joining us now to talk about this is Larry Solov. He is the co-founder and CEO of Breitbart. Larry, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. How you doing today?
I'm good. You know, the commercials in the Super Bowls are usually humorous. They're always often talked about. A lot of political messages in this year's ads during the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. I think what we're seeing here needs, you know, some broader context, which is that the liberals are right now, they've been shut out at the ballot box. They don't have control in Washington, so they find themselves politically stymied. They're losing increasingly their monopoly on media and messaging, and that's happening because of outlets like yours, because of Breitbart, because of a number of other ways that now conservatives can get their message out there and around the mainstream media. And they're beginning to lose control on campuses as well. And as they are losing control, they're turning to a new form or a new front in this culture war, which is enlisting corporations. And they're doing it in a number of ways. Either corporations are taking active stances. They're either funding, as you mentioned, the opposition to the travel pause, or they are coming out and messaging directly. We saw, how many of us just wanted to watch a football game and not be inundated with political messages? But that's what we got in the advertising on the Super Bowl. And the ones that stand out in my mind the most are the Budweiser commercial, where you had ostensibly, you know, Americans picking on an immigrant and being nasty to an immigrant, and the 84 Lumber ad, which was basically a long trek, up through, Central America and Mexico to arrive ultimately at a border wall and, you know, get into the country. I mean, these are outright political statements. And the other way that it's happening,
Everybody was kind of concerned that the halftime was going to be the political message that we were going to have to be subjected to. But in fact, it was the ads that most people look to for a little humor And you're actually right. They were these very not-so-subtle political messages countering the policy prescriptions that Donald Trump was elected on, I should add, but is also following through on as president.
Yeah, and the majority of Americans, you know, support, you know, President Trump's position. The other way that now the left is enlisting, and we've talked about this before, Tony, is enlisting corporate America, is in this idea of boycotting anyone who aligns with the Trump administration or supports the Trump administration's policies. And again, that's the majority of Americans.
Yeah,
that's
isn't
what
that
corporations aren't getting.
Larry, isn't that kind of, for corporate America, isn't that like playing with fire? I mean, that's a little risky when they're pushing these boycotts and they're in, you know, teaming up with people and suggesting they shouldn't go here or shouldn't do this. For instance, what they did to North Carolina. When you have, as you pointed out, a majority of Americans who voted sided with Donald Trump, could this not backfire on them?
It will backfire if we stand firm and we make it backfire. It's up to us, frankly. It's up to us to tell them it's not okay, and we can do that, you know, literally, but we can also, you know, tell them with our pocketbooks.
Right. And that's key.
We can all,
that's absolutely critical when you talk about our pocketbooks. We often talk here about the Second Vote, which is actually an app which lets you know where these corporate giants stand on so many fundamental issues. But, Larry Solov, you guys at Breitbart have actually come face-to-face with this with Kellogg.
Absolutely. Kellogg's boycotted us, stopped advertising on us. There have been a number of other advertisers that have stopped advertising on Breitbart. They don't care that we're more voices, not less. They don't care that we're free speech. They don't care. What they care is that we're not expressing the politically correct, toe the line of the left viewpoint. And what's interesting, Tony, and you're right, this could backfire. But they are now so emboldened or alternatively desperate that they're not trying to hide their agendas anymore. And the corporate boardrooms are coming out and exposing their actual politics. And it's a very, very interesting time. And I think we really need to add to the list of academia, the mainstream media, you know, corporate America as increasingly in the hands of the liberals.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday afternoon. Larry Solov, CEO of Breitbart, joins me talking about corporate America, not subtly, but very blatantly lining up against the Trump administration and their policies. Let me ask you this, Larry. Do you think that these, you talked about the corporate boardrooms, are they making these decisions proactively? Are they being pushed by the left with threat of boycotts against them and trying to push them into this battle? Because as you pointed out, the liberals, these radicals have lost government, control of government, Barack Obama, and they no longer have the pen and the phone. They're losing at the, you know, at the college level, the universities across America. They're certainly losing because of the alternative media. So are they putting the squeeze on these corporate boardrooms, or are they willingly doing this?
That's a great question, Tony. I'd really love to know the answer to that, and I'm not going to pretend to have the insight because I'm not sitting in those boardrooms. What I can tell you is that the left is exceedingly active in constantly placing phone calls, writing, berating corporations that, you know, really not even taking a conservative position, but not adopting a leftist orthodoxy is enough to earn their ire. And, you know, these boardrooms seem to be responding. I also think that in some cases, the people in the boardrooms are out of touch with the average American, live on the coast, don't have a high regard for quote-unquote flyover country, and are living in a bubble. And that leads them to make decisions which alienate the majority of the American people.
Are we at, Larry, a turning point with the election of Donald Trump and the, I would describe it as almost the emboldening of the average American to now speak up. Are we at a tipping point where we could see the country kind of move back to clearly right of center policies?
I think the dirty secret, so to speak, has been that we are always and have been a center-right country. And that has been, you know, we have been portrayed as otherwise by media, academics, and a lot of politicians, certainly the Democratic Party and liberal politicians. But I do think that we should feel emboldened by our victory and take, you know, a lot of courage and gain a lot of strength and be willing to, you know, make our voices heard now more than ever before.
Larry Solov, let me ask you about this. I mentioned at the top of the program where you have about 90 tech companies, including Apple, Google, Facebook, Microsoft, have filed a joint court brief, friend of the court brief, opposing the new travel rules, the 120-day pause that the Trump administration has put in place from a handful of countries that pose threats to the United States. What does this say about those corporations? Are they so emboldened, and you touched on this earlier, but are they so emboldened that they can be out front on this, or is there a risk for them in doing this?
I think that remains to be seen. I hope there is a risk. I hope there's more than a risk. I hope that there's a real danger that they are taking positions that will hurt their bottom line. I mean, frankly, I mean, my personal view is I'd like corporations out of politics.
Exactly.
Having said that, they're private companies. They can take the stances that they want. But we just need to let them know that we are strong, we're going to be heard, it's not okay with us, and frankly, I think most of us would be happy if they just stayed apolitical.
Right, if they just provided...
We're not even looking them to take our side.
Exactly. I say that repeatedly. I don't want them to be... They don't have to be on my side on the issue. Just provide whatever good or service that you provide, do it well, and, you know, leave the politics to those who are focused on that day in and day out. Larry, quickly, we're almost out of time. Are you still kind of locked into this kind of battle with Kellogg? And if so, how can our listeners help?
Well, okay. Well, I appreciate your asking. Yes, we're still locked in the battle with Kellogg. We, in response to Kellogg's very public statement denouncing us and our 45 million, that's right, 45 million monthly visitors, a sizable part of this country, and one that you would think corporations would not be willing to so easily insult, and yet they seem willing to be to do so. You know, sign our petition. You can find it online. And do everything you can to support the advertisers that support us. And let the advertisers who are boycotting us, and it's much more than Kellogg, let them know that it's not okay with you. Because
yeah,
the left is letting them know from their side, their opinion. So it's up to us to make our voices heard, too.
All right. We absolutely will do that. Larry Solov, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, man.
All right. We'll see you soon. All right, folks, you heard it. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. Coming up next, some legislators in Washington State are working to lock in certain anti-family provisions of Obamacare. We'll talk about it next.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, we've been leading these tours to Washington, D.C. for almost 20 years, and we've never had a response like we've had this year. We're going to fill up early for both our June and our September Spiritual Heritage Tours. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way, taking your questions and interacting with the group. We're going to be going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown as well on a separate tour that just precedes the Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon Spiritual Heritage Tour. So, if you'd like to go on one or both of these trips, you can find out all the information, all the details at the website spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com. 2017, may be your year to join us on one of these spiritual heritage tours.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Pornography is much more than a dirty little secret. As a matter of fact, it's not a secret at all. God sees what we're doing no matter how secret we think it is. Even to take God and our soul out of the picture, pornography is destructive and manifests itself in many ways. Here's a short list of concerns regarding pornography. Number one, it trains us to treat women like objects to be used and then thrown away. Two, it replaces the deep beauty of sex with a shallow, cheap imitation. 3. It robs relationships of trust and peace, encouraging lying and hiding instead of mutual openness. 4. Pornography robs marriage of true intimacy, building a wall with images from any past sinful actions or thoughts. Yet, remember this, God is gracious and forgives and enables us to be overcomers and indeed to pursue holiness even after years of sexual brokenness. This is a Decency Minute. Find us at AmericanDecency.org. I'm Bill Johnson.
Hello, I'm Ed Vitagliano, co-host of Today's Issues each weekday morning on American Family Radio. I'm also Executive Vice President of American Family Association, the parent ministry of AFR. I just want to welcome the many new listeners to the AFR family as we have expanded into several new areas over the past 6 months. Who pays for AFR to stay on the air, you might be asking? Well, the answer is simple. AFR depends on our listeners to make financial contributions so that we can keep our radio stations on the air. If you appreciate the news, talk, information, and inspiration that you receive from AFR each day, we ask that you remember us financially when funds allow. You can make a donation at AFR.net or by calling 800-FAMILIES extension 2. That's AFR.net or 800-FAMILIES. Please keep us in your prayers as we continue to impact America for Christ.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, if passed, a bill in Washington state would force all employers in the state to provide health plans that cover free of charge all food in Drug Administration, it's FDA-approved contraceptive drugs and devices, even those that can end the life of an embryo. Our own Irina Grosu, director of the Center for Human Dignity at the Family Research Council, was in Washington State today to testify before the state legislature against House Bill 1523, and she joins us now from the Evergreen State. Irina, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony.
Well, tell our listeners what you were doing in Washington State today and the bill that you were testifying against and the outcome so far.
Sure. So House Bill 1523 is actually quite dangerous because it imposes a HHS mandate type mandate on Washington State if it would pass and permanently enshrine it into their laws. So what this bill would do is that it would accept all of the FDA-approved drugs and devices and any new ones that are added through any administration period before December 31st, and any that would be added. And it would basically become part of the state law, forcing employers, whether religious nonprofit or businesses or schools, to cover these drugs and devices. So, for example, if it ever went to expand into accepting RU486, the medication abortion drug, or surgical abortion as part of the FDA-approved drugs and devices, it would automatically become part of state mandate. And so it's a very dangerous bill, and there are a number of people standing up against it today.
So, Irina, is this an effort at the state level by those pro-abortion and liberal legislators, you know, in kind of the coast states, is this to try to lock in the provisions that Obamacare had before Congress is able to repeal it?
Exactly. So what's dangerous about it is not only that it locks in every FDA-approved drug and device before December 31st, 2016, it would also lock in any new ones. But if any were removed after December 31st, 2016, so under the Trump administration, they would not accept the removal, except the addition of drugs and devices.
Boy,
and
that's blatant.
The way that, it's a very tricky bill, and the way that is written, it is very confusing, ambiguous. It just says any of the drugs and devices approved by FDA and HRSA, and that they could be added in. The way that they tried to sell the bill in creating this is just to say that these are preventive services. Now, FRC is not against other types of preventive services. They have well-woman visits, domestic violence screenings, gestational diabetes screenings, breast cancer screenings. All of these things are good, but they lumped in all of these very controversial drugs and devices. And so this bill really threatens religious liberty in Washington State.
Now, Arena, as you testified, you testified about how this is an infringement upon religious freedom and the rights of conscience, right?
Yes.
So what was how was that message? First, kind of tell our listeners what this has to do with religious freedom and rights of conscience, and then how was that message received?
Yes, actually, a lot of the committee members asked a lot of questions because the bill is so ambiguous that they couldn't even figure out what it said in it. So essentially, there are drugs and devices that people and employers have moral objections to, whether it's contraceptives or abortifacient drugs and devices that can kill an embryo after fertilization. And so these would be mandated in the state of Washington, whether or not an employer has religious or moral objections to these. And so this is primarily a religious liberty bill that infringes on religious liberty. So we've been there to show that this Washington State does not have a state RFRA law, that religious liberty could not be protected under this bill. They don't have any conscience provision whatsoever in this bill.
And that's important. That's important to point out, because the Hobby Lobby case, which deals with the very same thing, the HHS mandate, they use that, or they use the federal RFRA law in order to protect themselves from being forced to provide these contraceptives that can serve as abortifacients. And so you're saying that they won't have that defense in the state of Washington.
Right. So, one, there is no such bill in the state of Washington, a law. Also, the way it was written, there is nothing in it that says anything about protecting the conscience of any employer or business. And so it's a very, very dangerous bill. And I think I don't think the members were fooled. Would it be accommodations? And frankly, even staff members could not even answer that question clearly, because they don't know that the bill is so ambiguous that they couldn't even answer that. So I think that this bill would, they would just try to interpret it the way that they would want to interpret.
Right. So, Arena, did the committee vote on the bill today?
No, and we're hopeful that it will get out of the House, actually.
Okay.
And that's because of so many questions that came up even before I even went up to testify. Members of the committee had a lot of questions about this bill is so ambiguous. They didn't know what the bill said. So it was a very tricky way of trying to push RAM, HHS mandate, down Washington residents' throats in a way that maybe they thought wouldn't see it. But I think, you couldn't fool even members of the committee, and even who are not with us on a lot of the issues. But since the bill is not even clear enough, there were enough questions to raise concern.
Very good. Arena Grosso, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it. Good work.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. These things, you got to watch them, because especially in these handful of states, about a dozen states, 11 states, that still are controlled by Democrats, and oftentimes liberal Democrats, they're going to be pushing legislation like this to lock in. It's interesting how they structure this. So any new mandate would be covered under this law, but anything that's removed from the schedule of required services would not be removed. Yeah, interesting, huh? Anyway, you need to be tracking this, because I think you're going to see a lot of this in those handful of liberal states. All right, coming up next, Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma has introduced legislation to redirect Planned Parenthood taxpayer funding. We'll talk with him after the break here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're right back.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, one of the things that will probably do pretty well as far as the markets go this week are going to be bank stocks are going to continue to do well in the midst of a lower or a not such a stringent regulatory requirement for the banks. Reducing regulatory burden is going to be particularly beneficial to the smaller banks, the community banks that we love so much. I'm not a big fan of bank stocks, don't recommend them, and I haven't for 30 years. But nonetheless, bank stocks are probably going to drive the markets a little bit for the rest of the week. That, along with oil stocks, as we see oil prices getting a little bit stronger and oil stocks getting a little bit stronger as production and inventory data coming out of OPEC indicates that they are going to see lower inventories. Now, if they don't see lower inventories, if the production cuts that everybody's so eagerly awaiting aren't in fact happening as they anticipated, then it's going to be a very different story. One of the things that is out is China's foreign exchange reserves. Their foreign exchange reserves down $3 trillion, the lowest it's been in 6 years. Here's the problem. Capital continues to flow out of the second largest economy in the world. And this is the seventh straight month of declines. This is a trend. So they were expecting $1 billion to go out this month. It was $12 billion. What does that mean? There is zero confidence in the economy in China. And I think that tells us a lot about where the second largest economy is headed.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma has joined Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa to introduce the Protecting Funding for Women's Health Care Act, a bill that redirects taxpayer funds from Planned Parenthood that's been embroiled in a scandal involved in the selling of baby body parts. It would redirect that money to other eligible women's health care providers that do not engage in abortion. Joining us now is Senator Lankford to discuss this measure and some other things, I'm sure. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, always good to be with you. Thanks for what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate it. It's good to talk to you again. It was good seeing you last week. Let's talk about this, and I want to talk a little bit about the confirmations because that's pretty hot right now. You have joined with others, the president, well, let me go back. First, the president leaving town, one of his last acts, the former president, was saying that states could not defund Planned Parenthood in their federal funds that come into their state. You're addressing that, and you're basically helping put this money in places where it will legitimately help women.
Correct? You're right. There's really two different directions for Planned Parenthood that are rolling right now. One is something we'll try to do through the reconciliation process when we do the Obamacare repeal and replace, and that is taking away the Medicaid funds and saying this is the largest provider of abortions in the country. This is an entity that has been selling baby body parts, and we do not believe those funds should go through from the federal side. Then there's a separate, and we believe, as you mentioned before, those dollars should go to the federally qualified health clinics. There are many more of those. Planned Parenthood always says we take care of women's health. They're really a location to get abortion advice, and then they do screening, but not actually medical care. They're just the screenings all around the country. Then there are places called the federally qualified health clinics that are scattered around the country. There are thousands of them. For instance, in my state in Oklahoma, there are 5 Planned Parenthood locations, but there are 65 locations that are these federally qualified health centers. Those locations don't do screenings. They actually do the health care. They do the testing. The physicians are actually there. It's a completely different level of medical care. We want to get those dollars rather than to a location that provides abortions and does screenings to places that actually provide women's health care and don't do just the screening, actually do the testing, actually do the health care. We think that's a more efficient use of federal dollars, and it removes the stigma of those dollars going to Planned Parenthood. that's one part of it. The other part of it is trying to get the power back to the states to be able to make decisions on where their dollars go and where individuals can go. So that's a separate, what's called a Congressional Review Act. That is also a vote that we'll be able to take, hopefully, in the weeks ahead. But that gives states back the authority that the Obama administration took away from them to make decisions on health care dollars in their states.
Let me ask you a question on something that's really always kind of bothered me. When you've got an organization like Planned Parenthood that gets roughly $500 million a year from taxpayers, but then in the last election, and I don't have the total tally in front of me, but I know it was several million dollars, tens of millions, that they spent on this election. You know, it would seem to me that an organization, any entity, regardless left or right, that receives government money, that somehow there seems to be a conflict of interest for them to be able to engage in direct election politics. And I know it's a different entity, but it's still right under the same umbrella.
Right, and that's where they separate the monies out. Well, they will say, we don't use any of our federal funds for abortion, and we don't use any of our federal funds for lobbying, but obviously those dollars that come into them from grants, that dollars that come into them through Medicaid, those provide the resources and the facilities and the staffing, so all of the dollars that they can use for major lobbying efforts, because that money is clearly fungible. But they are a major player on the left side, and you can see the women's march that happened the day after inauguration. They were a major, Planned Parenthood was a major player in that march, then protesting Donald Trump. They're a major player in donating to a lot of liberal causes. Because they want to be able to keep the voice out there. That's the constant drumbeat they have, that they're all about women's health, but they're really only providing some basic screening and then abortion, and there's a lot more to women's health than that.
Yeah, without question. James Langford, Senator Oklahoma, my guest. All right, Senator, let's talk a little bit about confirmations. Getting a little testy up there, is it not, on Capitol Hill?
It is. It's actually very sad. The Democrats continue to force every vote into the longest time period possible instead of allowing a new president to be able to put the staff together that he wants to be able to put together. That's always been the privilege of every president. This president now, Donald Trump, is now the longest process to put his cabinet together since George Washington. And that may sound extreme, but when we were coming together as a nation and they were trying to figure out how they were going to do advice and consent, it took a long time to get that first cabinet together. No other cabinet has taken as long to put together since George Washington as Donald Trump's cabinet is.
Well, they were also trying to get to Washington. They were trying to get to Washington in a horse and buggy, too, so it took a little longer.
Yeah, slightly different structure at that point, but it's very sad. This goes back to how President Obama was treated, how even President Bush and President Clinton was treated. By this point in their presidency, President Clinton and President Obama had their entire cabinet together with very few exceptions. We're now through five people. President Trump, and they continue to be able to block and slow down as often as they can, and we're just going to work through the process to be able to get people checked off and done.
All right, well, we're going to keep watching it. Senator Langford, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Glad to be able to do it.
All right, Senator James Langford of Oklahoma, a true blue member of the Senate, longtime friend, great guy, actually a co-chair of the Values Action Team in the Senate, leading out on these issues. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. This would be one of the guys you might want to send a message to, you know, on his Facebook or on his website to say, hey, thanks. Thanks for standing up for life. Thanks for standing up for marriage, family, religious freedom, all those good things. All right. When we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls. We're going to talk about corporate America. What do you think about corporate America lining up against the Trump administration and their policies? Let's talk about it here on Washington Watch when we come back.
One of the great freedoms that most Americans enjoy is the ability to get involved in political campaigns. But what about pastors? Unfortunately, due to a little-known amendment that was passed in 1954 at President Lyndon Johnson's urging, churches and other nonprofit organizations are prohibited from making statements for or against a candidate for public office if they want to remain tax-exempt. This is just one of the many problems with the Johnson Amendment. Not only does fear of IRS action put a chill on the free speech of pastors, it restrains other nonprofit organizations from participating in the debate of public policy in their area of expertise. In addition, the IRS only rarely enforces the Johnson Amendment, causing widespread confusion about what constitutes lawful political speech and what doesn't. For more information on how to amend the Johnson Amendment, visit frc.org/Johnson Amendment. That's frc.org/Johnson Amendment.
Physicians keep learning after medical school in order to better save lives. Shouldn't Christian leaders keep learning to better save souls? Hi, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and online around the world. Are you a Christian leader who thinks it's important to keep learning? WBS online weekend and evening classes allow graduate students to become better equipped to make disciples in a constantly changing world. For more information, visit wbs.edu.
Unwholesome television programs and unnatural social agendas. As believers, we use our religious freedoms to take out the trash in the media and society. Even children's magazines are in the crosshairs. Join 1MillionMoms.com and take action.
This is Monica Cole of 1 Million Moms. We need you to sign up and speak up for our children at 1MillionMoms.com. We are making the difference.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
You're listening to Washington Watch. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. 866-372-7234. You know, what do you think about corporate America lining up openly challenging Donald Trump? I mean, they're taking him to the courts on this pause on immigration from the 7 majority Muslim nations that have been linked to terrorism. They had ads, you know, going after his policies. I mean, you know, I think they've had control for so long, so much access to the White House, joined at the hip, really, with Barack Obama, who did all this stuff by executive order, that they just don't know how to respond to this. I think they're throwing a fit. So what do you think? Corporate America lining up against Donald Trump and his agenda, will they succeed? Is it going to backfire on them? Are you going to take action? Are you going to, is this going to affect your decisions on who you do business with? 866-372-7234. All right, a moment ago, I was joking with James Lankford about the first cabinet of George Washington. They went by horse and buggy to Washington. Actually, New York was where they first assembled. The government didn't move to Washington, D.C. until the early 1790s. So they were in New York prior to that. So just before you called, I wanted to make sure that was clear. 866-372-7234. And let's first go to Texas, where Peril is on the line. Peril, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Tony, I really have a feeling that this is going to backfire. It's like playing with matches and hoping you don't get burned.
And well, sitting next to a gas can.
Absolutely. Or a natural gas, you know, a butane tank for those of us who had run up in the country. And I no longer shop Walmart. I do not shop Target. And I think it was when Macy's called for some kind of boycott. I don't shop Macy's anyway because they're a part of the Target group of stores. And I don't buy Starbucks. If I see that a company is coming out and not supporting the president, I'm not going to give them my business. And yeah. I don't have cable TV, so anything I watch is either on the internet or I stream it. And I usually try to watch the Super Bowl commercials. And I was appalled at how blatantly political so many of those commercials were. I think it was out of line.
Now, I know that the left would have gone crazy if conservatives would have responded the same way to Barack Obama with ads and such. You had a few corporations that simply defended themselves in court, privately held corporations like Hobby Lobby, that were forced, and because of their moral convictions, either they were going to shut the doors of their business and send tens of thousands of employees to the unemployment office or challenges in court. Same thing with Conestoga Woods in Pennsylvania. They did the same thing. Carol, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate you listening. And I'm with you. I mean, I use my money to speak. All right. I use it to buy it stuff, but I also, as we've talked about many times, mentioned it earlier, Second Vote, the whole premise behind Second Vote, and you can find out more, secondvote.com, is you get two votes. You vote at the ballot box for elected officials, and you can vote every time you make a purchase with your dollars. You are, if your profits are being used, like Starbucks, I have this conversation, my kids have this conversation with me all the time because they're actually more focused on this than even I am. I never like Starbucks coffee. I drink Dunkin' when I'm out, but I prefer a Louisiana brand of coffee that I carry with me everywhere I go. I'm one of those coffee snobs. I like my same cup of coffee every morning. But I shop in a local grocery store, Christian-owned store that, I pay a little bit more. But number one, the lines are never long. They give back to the community. They support churches. They're good to, they're good people to work with. And for those in Louisiana, it's Oak Point Grocery Stores. So if you live where I live in Louisiana, then that's a good place to shop. But there's local grocers everywhere. And, of course, they're being squeezed out by the big box stores, but we can help bring them back if we will shop with them. And it's important how we spend our money. Carol, thanks so much. Let's go to, let's stay in Texas and let's talk to Richard. Richard, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I see a real interesting challenge here. In all the years I've been growing up, I've always noticed that the students on the campuses are always protesting big corporations. They're taking their money, they're just stealing profits, and they're giving their jobs to foreign people and all this type of stuff. And now, here they are fighting on the same side as the corporations to give away their jobs to foreign workers. And they're going to be some really messed up kids when they get out and find out they were fighting for the wrong side.
Interesting. Things are so much different. You're absolutely right, Richard, when it was corporate America was always the bad guy. And so on these college campuses protesting against them. But also think about this, the flip side of this on the conservative side, Donald Trump, a billionaire, one of the richest men in America, identifying with and becoming the champion for the average middle class American. I mean, who would have ever thought that? Who would ever thought that all of corporate America and the other, big money people would have been against him? I mean, that's what shocks me, is that I thought that, here's a guy who's been very successful in business and he would have lined up all of corporate America, Wall Street, they're fighting against him. That's what amazes me, that they've chosen to be against him. And it's, I really am trying to figure all this out. What's driving these corporate boardrooms? Is it is the liberal ideology so permeated corporate America that it is in the boardrooms? And I think it is to a degree. I mean, I've had some very, very in-depth conversations and interactions with groups like Walmart, which has had a change of leadership in the last 5 years or so, and they have clearly gone to the left. So, yes, so part of it is driven by the CEOs and others. I mean, see Target. I mean, makes no sense for them to do what they're doing. But I do think that there is great exposure for them. Because we see what happened in this election, if folks like you, like us, listen, use those of us that are out here and fly over country and spend our hard-earned dollars, if we will be more conscious about how we spend them and who we spend them with, it will send a strong message. Richard, thanks so much for calling. Let's go to Emma Grace in Virginia. Emma Grace, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I don't really have much of a political perspective regarding the corporations because I tend to look at it in a more spiritual way. These are, we live in a culture where evil is good and good is evil now, and I actually think that they're all spinning their wheels. I think it's going to backfire on them because they don't realize who they are really fighting. The battle has always been belonged to God, and I think that the reason we have seen an unprecedented attack and lines that have been drawn so very clearly is because of the spiritual battle that is raging right now in our nation. And I think that God is placing his people who are knowledgeable, who are wise, who are discerning. He is placing them in this administration and all across America. He is on the move. And I just got off work, and I glanced down at my phone to see that Mike Pence made a historical vote today, which was just another confirmation that they are, I want to sit back and see them spend all of their money for naught.
Yeah. You know, there clearly is, Emma, a spiritual side to this that we cannot miss as Christians. I mean, there's no other way to explain the visceral reaction to Donald Trump, as we saw, you know, on that Friday when the swearing-in took place, the next day, that march, angry march on Washington, D.C. You know, I've seen that before. I got to go back to my introduction into the whole political arena back in 1992 with Operation Rescue and abortion when I was a police officer. And there clearly is something behind this. But here's the opportunity we have, Emma Grace, and it is nothing has yet been decided. Nothing has been done. The future of America is not secure. We have a window of opportunity, and this is where we as Christians, as conservatives, as those who, you know, revere the Constitution, we've got to be engaged and involved. And part of this is now where the battle is shifting is to corporate America. And I was talking with a governor today, earlier today, who, you know, is talking about how corporate America is really coming down hard on the states to try to keep them from coming up with common sense policies like men using men's restrooms and women using women's. I know that's crazy. That's a crazy idea. But corporate America has weighed into this, like Target. And so they're sending strong messages to state officials as well as the federal government. We've got to, while we have this opportunity, we've got to move in and take back this territory. And that requires all hands on deck. And that means we got to be involved. We got to be making those phone calls, need to be sending those emails. We need to be running for office. I mean, look, some of you folks need to be thinking about this. It's not too soon. school boards, city councils, state legislatures, and how we spend our money. All of that is critically important. All right, let's very quickly, I'm going to work another call here. Let's go to Paul in Tennessee. Paul, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. I think it boils down to people just needing to get engaged and not think that somebody else is going to be doing the work for us. The large corporations have just become so arrogant in their attitude towards their consumers, and I think we're seeing that in the political arena. But if we had a list and we knew which corporations these were specifically, I think there's quite a few of us that would just flat out stop spending our money there. I do.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, Paul, good place to start, secondvote.com. And nothing to do with FRC. We're not a part of that. I mean, we promote it, help with them. I believe in what they're doing. But secondvote.com, completely different organization, but we've worked with them in developing the criterion by which they look at these corporations. And so check it out, secondvote.com. And you can get an app. It's an app you can get on your smartphone. So anytime you're about to make a purchase, you can just look it up and you know where they stand on some key issues: life, religious liberty, the Second Amendment, global warming, environmental issues. Not all issues, some outside the scope of what FRC does, but certainly not outside the scope of what conservatives are concerned about. So check that out, Paul. I think you might find it very helpful. Paul, thanks so much for calling. Almost out of time. Obviously, this is a topic of great interest. The switchboard's lit up. We're going to try to return to this again this week and talk more about using our money to challenge corporate America. And here's the good thing is I think this is an opportunity to take them on by supporting the right policies of the president. Most of his policies, I think, are good. I see no problem with the pause on the travel into this country from those seven identified countries. I might add a couple more to them. But, I mean, he said this in the campaign, that we needed to be better equipped to determine who comes into this country. Now, I was reading the other day in Nehemiah, you know, after Nehemiah got the walls built, the gates put back up, he said, look, don't open those gates until the sun is hot, meaning the sun was up and you could see who was walking through the door. Nothing wrong with finding out who is coming into your country. Yes, when we figure out we've got a good vetting system, we can let the people in who want to be a part of America and become a part of this intricate fabric of freedom. But those that want to tear it apart, we're under no obligation to let them in here. That's what it means to be a country. All right, folks, thanks so much for joining us today on Washington Watch. Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow, and I hope you will as well. Until then, I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything that you can do, and there's a lot you can do, but when you've prayed and when you've prepared and when you have taken your stand, no second guessing, folks. Just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.